Beloved, we return to Numbers chapter 34. We will read all of the verses of chapter 34 today. If you're looking ahead, you'll recognize we're getting close to the end. And as they are getting close to the end, although there will be the book of Deuteronomy, God is continuing to review main themes and prepare them with confidence and perseverance to hold fast and overcome, that they would enter into the promised land that he has before them. So this chapter is just another way that he's giving confirmation, confidence to his people that it is theirs, they will possess it. And we'll read through it. We'll only consider a few things with it. It's though 39 verses. It's a rather simple chapter, but it is the Word of God, and we'll trust that it has powerful truth for us to strengthen and feed we the sheep to continue to follow the Good Shepherd. May the Lord bless us now as we give ourselves to the reading and the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the obeying of His holy, living Word. Numbers 34. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and pass on to Zin. And the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea and shall go on to Hazar Adar and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt. On the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. And this shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor, ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath, and the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border. And ye shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah, on the east side of Ain, and the border shall descend, and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Kinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. This shall be your land with the coasts thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on the side of the Jordan near Jericho eastward toward the sun rising. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the name of the men are these: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud, of the tribe of Benjamin, Eliad, the son of Kislon, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogil, the prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod, and the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan, And the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elzaphan, the son of Parnak. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paltiel, the son of Azan. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahihud, the son of Shalomi. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahel, the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. We end the chapter with verse 29. Pardon me, I think I said there were 39 verses. 29 verses, excuse me. Well, I imagine that you can already hear a question in your mind when I suggest that as we're driving on long trips on a place or a destination, there's a question our children very often ask us. And it seems like it's every time we're 5 miles along, or, you know, it's the question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's a question that we essentially can find ourselves asking God through phases of our pilgrimage. I think we're often essentially in different ways, privately, possibly publicly, asking God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Do we have to keep on like this? Well, parents remind the children that it is worth the long trip. It's worth getting where they're going, especially when it's a vacation. When we get there, children, let's remember what we'll be doing. Let's remember all the fun we'll be having. Let's remember what a special place this is, especially if they've been there before. The children can maybe imagine a little bit. This is what God is doing, at least in part for us here today with the text. God is reminding his people it is worth the journey. He's doing this regularly for them. They are so prone, like sheep, to wander. They are so prone to get spooked and to stop following. So he's giving us once again a reminder of confidence. God himself will most certainly give the promised land to his people. I submit to you this as the main idea of our text today with what is being said and described. God himself will most certainly give the promised land to his people. So however long it takes, and we're tempted to say, are we there yet? It's the promised land. We're absolutely going to get it. We don't want to say, well, let's just get off of this exit and go to that motel instead. No, no, we're almost there. He's getting us there. Hold on. Where he's bringing us is much better, and he is going to bring us there. Let's remember that these laws in these last few chapters of Numbers are implicit promises. God is making commands about how they're to take the promised land. He's telling them how to divide the land, who must be the ones dispensing of the land. But these are all laws and commands related to his promise. I'm going to give you the land. They're all implying this is happening. This is about to happen. It's encouraging. God's people will inherit the earth. And we know from Psalm 24, we just sang, he owns it all. But he's going to give it to his people. Verses 1 through 15 is the division of the land. There's really two sections of this chapter. In the first part, you could note verses 1 through 15, the division of the land. We see that expressly pointed to in verses 2 and 13. Let's look at verse 2. Command the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Command them when they inherit. This is your inheritance. These are all givens. This is all done because the Lord has given it to them. There is a process of overtaking it. There will be a process of dividing it up, but it is a done deal. This is going to happen. You're all going to get to own some of this land. Each tribe is going to have a possession. No one is going to be left out. Everyone will benefit. Now, naturally, the tribes that are already taking the land before the Jordan we've looked at, they're mentioned here as not possessing because they already have their inheritance before the Jordan. But everyone is going to get something, benefit from this, have an inheritance. Look also at verse 13. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the 9 tribes and to the half-tribes. So once again, this is the land you will inherit. I am telling you how to divide it up because it's already yours. You can think about that. If we know we've inherited something or we know we've possessed something, but we've yet to go enjoy it, we might start to divvy it up. You know, like a piece of pie or a cake on the table. It's already ours, and we start to slice it up and divide it. Who's going to get? You want a big piece? You want a small piece? But it's already ours to divide and to enjoy. This is what's happening first. The division of the land, even though they haven't crossed the Jordan yet, even though they're still going to get the book of Deuteronomy, even though they haven't yet entered into the promised land, God is already telling them, here's how you'll divide it. It's yours. Now, there's something also encouraging to recognize here. The border markers, east, west, north, south. If you start to look at all of the areas, there's seas, there's wilderness, there's rivers. There are things that mostly work as natural boundary barriers against invasion. Keep that in mind for some things we think about the eternal promised land. Also, the tribes will get a lot. Everyone, again, will get something of it. Verse 13. It is secure because God owns it, God gives it, and this land that's being marked out is a good land. We know it's a fertile land, which is huge considering all the time they've been in the desert. And it's their land. They won't be slaves like they were in Egypt, which was a fertile land. He's bringing them to this place and showing them that the borders, in a sense, are mostly barriers to protect them. Naturally, God ultimately will be there to protect them. So verses 1 through 15 is the division of the land. Verses 16 through 29 is the distribution of the land. God says, I want the priest and the governor and the princes to distribute, to lead the orderly dividing and giving of this land to the people, the distribution of the land. God is the one directing it. He's the one giving the land. It's his to give. He's the one giving these commands. They aren't to just go about it any way they want. He's doing things decently in order, so there isn't fighting, there isn't difficulties. But he's the one giving this direction. But particularly, he's pointing ahead to Christ doing this for us. Look at verses 17 through 18. These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you. Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. So again, the distribution of the land, as it were. You are the ones who are going to divvy it out. You are the ones who are going to give it. But notice he wants his leaders to do this, namely Eleazar the high priest, and Joshua the governor, the king. These are types of Christ in his office of prophet, priest, and king, particularly priest and king, or governor. And the princes are types of Christ as well, the leaders of each tribe to take on these provinces. Isaiah 9, verse 6, the princes are typifying Christ as the one who has the government upon his shoulders, typifying Christ who is the prince of peace. So God is dividing the land and he's distributing the land as it relates to the boundary lines protecting the lovely land. We want to think ahead to the true promised land as it's described to us in advance as well as ours in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth where you will live forever with Jesus Christ. Remember this, the gates will always be left open. The gates will never be closed because there will be no danger of evil invasion. There'll be no danger of threat or loss. It'll be the most amazing place. So you can always leave your door unlocked. You can always leave it open. You can leave the gates to the city open. There doesn't need to be any barriers or boundaries because everywhere will be Christ's kingdom. Everywhere will be Christians, and there'll be no danger of Canaanites. Revelation 21, verses 25 to 27 tells us this. And the gates of it, that is heaven, the New Jerusalem, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The gates, the boundaries of the promised land will not need to have anything shut. After all, the whole land will be the Lord's, and the inhabitants of this earth will be completely kicked out, as we saw earlier, the commands to get rid of the Canaanites. Christ will give you this land, beloved, so you are wise to keep following him. He's going to give it to you. It's a better place. Keep following him. He's the one that organizes and prepares it for you, and he's the one that gives it to you. Revelation 2, verse 7 and verse 26, Christ's call in the letters to the churches of Asia to hold on, to overcome. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now again, that's what the promised land is also a type prefiguring. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. It'll be this perfect paradise with total power, and Christ is the one that's getting it ready and going to give it to us. Revelation 21, verses 6 to 7. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Remember again, you'll inherit all things. The boundary markers will be around the world. And so you see, as in the prophets, you see in the Revelation, east, west, north, south, the entire four corners of the earth are being judged and taken over by Christ and will be owned completely by him and given to his people. And so he says to you in John 14, verses 1 to 6, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, beloved, stay the course, as do all Christians. Follow Christ. It's the best place he's preparing for us. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, and verses 13 to 16, speaking of all the saints who have continued the course and followed Christ, but focusing on Father Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. See, this is the land they've come back now to take over. As in a strange country. Before he took it over, he's living in this land as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, tents, you see. The heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They seek a country. They desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. How glorious will be this new Jerusalem, the promised land in which you will soon live. Right now, you're in tents. Lack a sense of permanence. But there is a time when there will be no more war against sinful invasions, no more wilderness wanderings in tents. You will have a perfect residence in paradise. Hold fast, beloved. Overcome. Though you have sand in your teeth, and though you're in danger of growing tired of manna, you will enter a land flowing with milk and honey, and you will enjoy enormous grapes. Be patient, pilgrims. Christ will give you a better place to live. That is the message for you this morning from the text. Christ will give you a better place to live. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let us pray. We do thank you, Lord God, for this witness to us again to give us certainty of our inheritance. You're leading us into the promised land. You're bringing us to a place flowing with milk and honey. You're bringing us to a fertile, lovely place. There'll be no danger. There'll be no worries, no danger of losing anything. And you're preparing mansions for all of us. You're giving us all a lot within this kingdom. You're giving us all possession and ownership. We will be priests and kings ruling with you. Lord, we confess that we get tired sojourning as pilgrims. We confess there's a danger to want to go back to Egypt and go back to the wilderness. Lord, as you get us closer and closer, as you have here, help us to keep seeing these repeated promises, this review of the certainty of our inheritance of the earth and all things, and that it will be a pristine, perfected, holy place of righteousness. And therefore, the results and effects of all of it will be so glorious compared to even this earth that is affected by the fall and cries out to be rescued by you. Lord, keep our eyes on the promised land. Let us keep an eye on our inheritance. When we know we have an inheritance, we hold out for it. We look ahead for it. We wait to be given it. So, Lord, let us take confidence in this. And let us be blessed that it is a far better place to live. And so let us follow along the way of the narrow path that leads to life, to follow after you, Christ our Savior, Christ our Shepherd. Keep bringing us to new pastures, feeding us with fresh green things as you lead us along the way, even through the valley of the shadow of death, into your glorious house, where we will dwell with you forever. We thank you, O great shepherd of the sheep. Not only do you bring us there, but you prepare it for us, and you will give it to us. We do thank you, and thus we praise you, Christ alone, in all these things. And all your people said, Amen.